The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to The Press. It's Ryan Ballinger. Good to be here with you today for our show where we go over our model for this week's PGA Tour event, which is the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am. We'll also go over our first round leader model. We didn't do one last week. The multi-course model kind of thing. I don't feel so confident about it, to be honest with you, on the first round leader side, because you get a diluted market because you have multiple courses. Torrey kind of made some sense last week, and I was just too busy, truthfully. But it could make some sense because at least you have three rounds on Torrey South. So you have a little bit more long-term data. You have a little bit more sporadic data about Pebble because you're only going to get two like you would get with the Amex at Stadium West or PGA West Stadium. So it is a tricky exercise here. We'll go over it anyway and talk about it all with you. And hopefully it all kind of makes sense. Just a heads up, we're going to go over the top 10 in our model here. And then the first round leader stuff is still experimental in my view. So it's free to access. You can check out all of it. I post the top 20 in that model, as well as for this week, the players who have gained the most strokes on Pebble Beach in the last 4 years by a weighting that I chose, which it still would have been the same list regardless, just averaged it out. So let's go into the full tournament model for this week with some noted caveats, right? This is a tournament that's played over 4 days on three courses, three different courses for the first 3 days. We know that this tournament has longer rounds, that tends to have slower greens, bumpier greens, smaller greens. Driving can be at a premium, but is not treated the same on every golf course. And we only have strokes gain data about Pebble Beach golf links, which if you make the cut, you're going to play twice. If you don't make the cut, you're going to play once. So we don't have tons and tons of data to make course fit adjustments here. Most of what's happening in the model this week is all about general trends, 2 year and 1 year trends. Last five events is a weighting factor, weighting your competition, all of that combined together. And this is what it has spit out for us for this week. Also note, if you're a GNM subscriber, if you're a member, that the points this week will be depressed because the weighting of the points is also depressed because this field is pretty weak, relatively speaking. And so that's something important to consider as well, that the quality strokes gained in this tournament over the last 5 years would be a little bit different because the field used to be a little bit better before the Saudi International came along. But right now it's kind of weaker. So there's not as much of a bump to that as well. So all things to consider when thinking about the model this week. Anyway, starting out number one is Matt Fitzpatrick, and he is number one by far in the model. It's not even close. He's got a half a point lead over Jordan Spieth, who is second, and he's naturally second because he has a great track record of this course. He is a great player. He has done phenomenal things at Pebble Beach. You should like those guys as 1 and 1A, really, but Fitzpatrick has been more consistent, and he has developed better as a player in the last year. Obviously, having a major championship win helps him out in the ranking here because you get a full 200 points in terms of the official World Golf Ranking weighted model. So your strokes gained for the U.S. Open are multiplied by two. That does come up here, and that's going to last for a little while. Jordan Spieth is second. Victor Hovland is third. I know a lot of people are going to look over Victor Hovland this week. I'm going to be one of them, but he is a high-quality player, and that should not be disregarded here. But a lot of people are going to look past him this week at 12-1 as not a good value, and I completely understand why, but worth noting. Matt Kuchar actually is fourth, which tells you a lot about where we're at with this field. and what Kuchar has done kind of over the last 2 years in terms of consistency of beating players in the field. It's almost like a Russell Henley effect, where Henley would continue to show up in the model week after week after week in the top like 20, and you're like, but this guy doesn't win. Well, he also gains a lot of strokes on the field in general, and that makes him valuable as far as my model is concerned. Erik van Rooyen's fifth was awful last year, but was good the year before, so we're not killing him off yet. He was good, you know, the one-year thing hurts him, the two-year thing doesn't. And he's played okay to start the season, so he does get a nice bump there as well. Maverick McNealy is sixth. He's someone I think a lot of people are going to like this week. I find him hard to bet at 20-1, just because he has never won on the PGA Tour. He's going to get there. I'm very convinced he's going to get there this year. But at this spot, I'm not necessarily so certain. Thomas Dietrich is seventh. And he just gains strokes really early in tournaments. And sometimes he closes them out, particularly overseas, obviously. But he gains strokes early. And that's a very interesting phenomenon with him. Keith Mitchell is eighth. And then we kind of get into some interesting, probably recency bias, if anything. Eric Barnes and Nick Hardy are 9th and 10th. That's not normally what I would probably spit out, but because they have more experience in weak field events, which is how we do our weighting, we look at relative fields. Well, this is a weaker event, so these guys do better in weaker fields. They show up better. Matthew Neesmith is 11th. Again, does better in weaker fields. Ben Griffin, 12. Alex Smalley, 13. Denny McCarthy, 14. Seamus Powers, 15. That's because he plays against a lot of higher quality fields than a lot of the players are here. So the model this week, you're going to have to parse a little bit, knowing that some guys are going to get bumped up values because of the weak fields they play against, generally speaking, and some of the stronger players who may not necessarily gain a ton of strokes in all the high-end events that they play now that they're a better player. They may be hurt this week. If I were running just strictly on strokes gained, obviously you would have a much higher rating for Seamus Power, and he's a guy I'm going to bet this week. Just have to know that about the limitations of this. And you could modify the model for that, by the way. I don't for consistency's sake, just to tell you, hey, this is what the model spits out. For better or for worse, this is what it is. But that's something you got to keep in mind this week about the flaws of it. And then you get into Tom Hoagie, Justin Rose, Kevin Streelman, Mark Hubbard, guys like that that you would expect to kind of have on that, you know, on that board. Kevin Streelman is your horse for course play this week. Other than Jordan Spieth, he is the horse for course play. And he has got four top 15 finishes in this tournament in the last 5 years. There is every reason to like him in a top 10, in a top 20 bet. Please do not bet him to win, but I can absolutely see the case to bet him in 10s, 20s, and 40s this week. So please keep that in mind. And I mentioned Spieth as the other kind of horse for course play. Makes sense. He plays this tournament every year. He's also better than most people who play in this tournament. So he's the guy to look at. Russell Knox is the only other player in the field to be in the top 15 at least 3 of the last 5 years. You have some other guys that have been in there multiple times. Scott Stallings, Matt McNealy, Tom Hoagie, Joel Damon. Joel Damon is going to be a guy I'm going to harp on this week because he plays Pebble pretty well. He's been playing well. He rates out well. There's no reason really not to like him this week. And I'm totally fine with him kind of being deeper down in the model because it's not going to catch up. He's 26th in the model, but it makes sense that you would like him this week. So very much worth a look in my opinion, just how I kind of feel about it. And then as we mentioned, we've got our event history guys. We don't have a lot of guys in recent memory with multiple top 15 finishes. They are all weaker players. You got a Ben Taylor, Alex Smalley, Robbie Shelton. I think of those, and Joel Damon, I would think of those. I would lean more into Shelton's recent form and Damon's form. Shelton had a top 10 at the RSM, which is a tournament susceptible to wind and not the best weather. That could be applicable here. He was tied for 6th at the Amex multi-course event, applicable here. Joel Damon had a nice top 5 finish at the RSM, T9 at Houston. These are shorter courses, you know. Houston is a longer course than the three they're going to play this week. But Damon is generally playing pretty well, and I think that's worth a look. Obviously, you have to be concerned about why he withdrew last week from Torrey, but I'm kind of willing to overlook that, sort of. But Robbie Shelton really does intrigue me as a play this week. Even if you've had some winners in recent memory kind of come out of nowhere for this tournament, and it happens sometimes. Now the field is not very strong. I think that is absolutely a possibility this week, and it's well worth a consideration. Now, let's move over to the first round leader model that we've created for this week and give you an idea of what has gone into this. And this is a relatively new thing, so if you haven't heard it before, this is helpful. If you have, I'm sorry for the rehashing. But basically, I use strokes gained in the first round of a tournament with three different sets of data. The last 50 events, the last 20 events, and the last 5 events. And then you're looking at the course history here. Obviously, we don't have one host course for the week, so we took that out, made it its own thing separately, because at most you're going to play 2 rounds. And you're not always going to be in the first round at Pebble, so it's kind of hard to parse all that out. So we just made it a separate thing. Hey, here's what you're doing on Pebble Beach. If you're playing Pebble Beach, then you can obviously look down the list, and they will release the tee times Tuesday afternoon. So then we will know who's playing Pebble Beach, and we can react accordingly. But if you're looking at the first round leader market, I post the top 20. It's available at golfnewsnet.com. It's free. Ben Griffin is number one in that model. And then Denny McCarthy, Matt Fitzpatrick, David Lipsky, Joel Damon in there. Will Gordon is 6th. Webb Simpson, 7. Tyson Alexander is 8. Seamus Power, 9. Dean Burmester, 10. Then you kind of start to get a little bit deeper. Tropical Vic, Ben Taylor, Marty Dew, Keith Mitchell, Trey Mullinax, Alex Smalley, MJ Jafu actually does play pretty well in first rounds. Justin Rose, Matt Kuchar, Jordan Spieth. So, we know that about the first round leader market here. Pretty much every book does it this way. You might get it in an offshore book or something, but every book pretty much does, hey, this is what course these guys are on. We're going to divide the field into 2 or 3, pick a market for each course, and that's your first round leader market. Obviously, that dilutes the field in a 3-course rotation more than a 2-course rotation, because you only have 52 players to pick from at each course, which means you're going to get not as good action, not as good odds. So unless you feel particularly confident about a player on a course, and you can use this first round leader data to your advantage if you wish, I would not try to touch the market for Spyglass or Monterey Peninsula. First of all, Monterey Peninsula is kind of too easy. It's the course where you have to score. It's kind of like Torrey North. You've got to make your hay there. You can't fail there. Otherwise, you're in trouble to get to Sunday. So I would just say, look at when the times come out, who's going to be on Pebble, then try to match up if you're going to bet off the first round leader model. Try to match up who is in the top 20 for the overall model, and then the players who have gained the most strokes at Pebble in the last 4 years, and we'll go over that here in just a second. Try to marry those, and if they're on Pebble, fire. Go for it. So, one marriage right away is Ben Taylor. He leads in the most strokes gained on average at Pebble in the last 4 years. He has 4 measured rounds at Pebble Beach. Michael Kim is 2nd. Matthias Schwab is 3rd. Fabian Gomez is 4th. Matt Fitzpatrick is 5th. Austin Smotherman is 6th. Taylor Moore is 7th. Matt McNeely is 8th. Troy Merritt is 9th. Kevin Streelman's 10th. So, you're going to see some crossover there, not a whole lot, but we don't know if any of these players, when I'm recording this, are on this list that are playing Pebble. Obviously, some of them are going to be, it's just distribution, but we have to look at that and be pretty well aware of that if we're going to play this market this week. It is a tricky market to play, so have to consider that quite a bit, if not making the entire reason you bet somebody. So, I will say, going over the course of the model, as it kind of, you go through crafting and running all the queries and putting it all together, I do think we're going to have a lot of variance here, and it's going to be a little strange. It just is going to be because of the way the my model looks at peer events in terms of strength of field, but also includes strokes gained over longer stretches of time. So a stroke gained in a bigger event without, when we're not weighting it, there's a factor there that matters. And it usually doesn't, in a stacked field, you have a lot of players with the same resumes. So they're playing very similar events, and that's even before the era of the designated event, right? Which meant you had a lot of similar resumes, which means if you played well in those events, you gained weighted quality strokes gained, and you improved the value of the field, the difficulty of the field, which means the weighting of that relative to peer events also goes up, makes it a whole lot easier. These weaker field events are much more difficult to predict based on my model. And to be honest, I've kind of considered having a separate weak field model that maybe takes into consideration more strokes gained than quality strokes gained and weights that a little bit more because they're weighted closer to equal in my existing model, the general model. But if I took out some of the value of the weighted portion, the peer events, I think this would round it out a little bit better. So that may be something we do moving forward, especially for those mid-season, late summer events where you're like, all right, the field is not very good at all. This might help us in an opposite field event situation, stuff like that. That's probably what we're going to wind up doing. And unless for some reason we absolutely nail it here, and it could happen, but that's only really if you get one of the expected top players that wins. Otherwise, I think we're going to have a weak field model and a every other field model, which we'll do for the kind of standard events and obviously the major championships, WGC players, playoff events, elevated events, all that type of stuff, all that together. That'll be its own thing. So I wanted to kind of give you all those caveats about the results for the week, let you know that up front. If you want to take a look at the full model, you can join. You can become a member. Golf News Net is $50 a year now. We are putting more resources to work. We actually just launched a new tool here yesterday that we'll let you look at for those of you who are derivative bettors. Percentage of top wins, top 10, top 20, top 40, and missed cuts in the last 50 events played. And you can see remarkable consistency among the top players for top 40 and top 20 bets. But there are some differences there that are pretty interesting and worth watching each week. And then I think we will include the capability of filtering out or a separate tool to filter all that out based on this week's event. So you can look at event history and make a comparison. And then we are going to offer a free tool that will just allow you to look at kind of the general results of a tournament from year to year to year. And you can just vary between years and tournaments. And you can see all of the data visualized for that. It's not really ever in one place. And the value that I think we offer in terms of the membership is how to slice and dice that either through my model or through tools that do that. So we're going to allow that as a public thing that, hey, everyone can access it. You can export, you can save the data. It's fine. And I think it'll be really helpful even just for the general bettor who just kind of wants an idea of what's going on out there. But if you want something more advanced, we're going to continue to add tools. The next couple of things that are going to come up in my list of things to do here are player comparison tools. So for head-to-head matchups, we want to look at that. Also want to look at having a player's career trajectory tool. So you can pick a player and you can visualize what they're doing in every facet of the game over a longer term period of time and a shorter period of time. So you can see if they're progressing or regressing and just get a sense of where they are over the years. We have a number of player profiles that we've created, I think 20 or 25 already. We'll wind up having probably 200 sooner than later. Just kind of wanted to get through the process of getting them started and then building these tools out too. But in total, we should probably have about 200 player profiles, which we'll look at. These will be free. They are free. Full look at where they rate this week in my model. So it's just one player at a time. I'm fine giving that away. They're top players. You can figure it out. Career results, season strokes gained, and past history in an event. So you can take a look at all of that as that comes out. And we'll better organize it and make it all available for everybody at golfnewsnet.com, whether you're a member or not. You're going to get some value out of that, and that's kind of what we're trying to do. And in candor, I think we're putting in more resources to this than I originally kind of anticipated, just kind of got going on it and really having fun with it. So we may do one more membership price increase where we will grandfather anyone in who joins, and that'll probably be by the end of February. We will increase that to like $100 per year. So if you do want to get in, we're going to keep it at 50 for all of now through February. And if you do get in at that price, I grandfather everyone in. People who paid at much lower prices back in the earliest, very earliest days of this are still paying those prices because they got grandfathered in, and I've never increased prices on them. So I won't do it on anyone who joins now. If you get in at that $50 rate, it's yours for as long as you choose to be a member. All right, that's going to do it for us on the press today. I hope you enjoyed the show. Got some good information out of it. Tomorrow we will set our final cards, derivative plays, outright plays, all that good stuff. In candor, I'm probably not going to touch the DP World Tour this week. Certainly not touching the Saudi International. Just not enough to make it worth it for me. So we're going to stick with the PGA Tour this week. Take a couple guesses. Go for a couple long shots and see if we can't get home on someone like Seamus Power, Joel Damon, and maybe a couple longer guys. We'll see what's out there. I've been Ryan Ballingy. Thank you for listening. We will talk to you next time on The Press.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.